24. Father, help us now tonight to be a blessing. Thank you for these testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at one verse here, in verse 13. This verse right here has been mishandled and misused so many times. And it's a good verse. Some good preaching in it. I thank God for it. When the Bible says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. First of all Scripture is inspired. Every word, every verse is inspired by God. But not all Scripture is written to us. Must always remember that. This right here is a great verse. I'm not enduring to the end to get to heaven. But these folks that want to take that verse right there and teach that you got to hang on to the end to be saved, you got to endure to the end. Oh, I tell you, enduring and trying to hang on. And I want you to know it does not mean that at all for us today. It's a tribulational passage. During the tribulation period, those that don't take the mark of the beast will be able to be saved. Don't take the mark of the beast. Endure to the end. It's exactly what it means. But it's a great verse that we can use for the sermon that I'm going to try to preach tonight. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But I am saved by grace through faith. Now, the word endure means to last or to suffer patiently or to bear up under or to tolerate. And there's some things in our life, church, that we're going to suffer, that we got to bear up under. You got to deal with. You can't get around it. If you live any length of time in your life, if you live 60 years in your life, 70 is even worse, 80 even worse, probably somebody in their 90s says even worse. I'm trying to say there's going to be some things in your life that you are going to have to endure. Like it or not, it's part of your life. It's going to happen. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're trouble-free. You see, a lot of folks think that when they get saved, troubles are over. I got news for you, trouble begins. Amen? Because you're saved. You're saved, the devil's mad, he lost you. He can't deal with you when it comes to salvation anymore. But he hates the fact that you're saved. And God has given us some things in the Bible, as I take that word endure, and we'll look at some things that every man and every woman in this room is going to have to endure, like it or not. It is part, Ridge Memorial Baptist Church, of the Christian life. 24 years and better since I've been with you. Pastor, I've been with your side, by your side, helped you endure some things. We've seen families endure some things. We've seen wonderful things happen to families. Brother Robert, we've seen heartaches. We've seen happy times. We've seen folks get married. We've seen folks have children. Then we've seen folks that's had children that's had problems. Maybe some of the times a child is not healthy. You say, what are you saying? There's some things in our life that come in that word endure. God wants you and I to tolerate it, to bear it up, to bear up under, to suffer patiently, because you'd never enjoy heaven very much if everything was perfect down here. You would never want to leave town. How's that? You might say this world, you're in town. But one day we're going to get out of this place. One day God's coming back. One day the rapture is going to take place. One day we're going to pass from death unto life, literally. You did that when you got saved. But life is very short. Life is sometimes is a difficulty. Let me do it. It seems like it's a little nippy in here, isn't it? And so we need to understand that we're going to have to endure some things. Let's look at some things tonight, and you'll recognize this, but I think this will refresh you a little bit. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at the first thing we have to endure as a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 2. Put yourself here when we read this verse here, because it's going to happen. By the way, what I'm going to deal with tonight, if it hadn't happened yet, it will. It will. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Here's the first thing, and I believe most everybody in here has endured this right here. In verse 19, 1 Peter 2, 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God, a man for conscience toward God, and then all of a sudden Peter tells us, and God says the same thing, endure grief. Endure grief. Been there? Had some grief? Let me tell you something, church. Funerals hurt. We know that we buried some people in this church, probably buried more than we have attend now. I'm talking about if you go through that memorial part of the directory, we're going to have to start adding some more. People die one at a time. And there are going to be some times in your life you are going to have to endure it, to bear up under, to keep on going. You are going to have to tolerate this sometimes. Nobody likes grief. But if somebody dies in your family, don't be a bad testimony. I've seen people that are saved go up to the body and pull on him. Don't leave me, Mama. Don't leave me, Daddy. Don't leave me, honey. And they're crying in there. And here they are saved. That's a bad testimony. It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep, but we're only separated for a little while. But you know, son, we got to be careful as born-again Christians that we don't make the world think that we don't think they're in heaven. It's hard to bury somebody. I don't like funerals, but I do them. Part of the pastor's ministry is to preach funerals. The only thing good about it, people usually get saved. If you want to find something good, I mean, God's done give me the liberty. Now, if the family doesn't want me to do it, I respect it. I don't do it. But most of the time, families give me the freedom to preach a good salvation message as well as comfort them. Now, two things I do. I comfort the family. That's the first thing. And then try to get people saved. But there's some good things that come out of this thing. But it is never easy to deal with grief. I feel so bad for Nancy Harrigan. That is a wonderful family. Mike Harrigan, let me tell you something. He was a quality man. If you ever look at the graduation and that we had, he was sitting right over there, probably right behind where Brother Robert was, where Mike was. He came and saw his son graduate, never knowing that it was his time at the age of 59 to go on to glory. We don't know. Grief is going to happen. You know, it's a lot easier if you expect it. Sometimes God doesn't give us a warning. But Robert, you had some warning. Still wasn't easy. I'm saying when it happens suddenly as a tragedy, it's difficult. But ladies and gentlemen, Ridge Memorial Baptist Church Sunday night crowd, endure grief. It's going to happen. That's what he says. Tolerate it. Bear up under. Put up with it because you're going to happen, church. You don't have to run around saying, hallelujah, one day I'm going to have to endure grief. Nobody's going to do that. But I'm trying to tell you, remember, if you lost a loved one, if they were saved, they didn't get demoted, they got promoted. We must always remember that. Remember, when they died, what you see in the casket is no longer them. That's the old shell. That's what's left. They were carried by angels. Amen? Amen. Must always remember that, church. And every one of us in here, if you haven't yet, there's going to be a time you're going to have to endure grief. It comes with the Christian life. I'm going to tell you something. 25 years of time of being around people and pastoring, I've seen it. I've seen people when I came here that were young. And all of a sudden, now they're gone. That's part of it. It's going to happen. Every one of us in here, one at a time, are going to have to go through this thing of grief. Like I said, my good friend, Mike, and I talked to his son the other day. And they said the biggest thing for Nancy, his wife, is that they weren't ready for him. And that's what makes it difficult. Most of you in here have been able to bear it because you had time to prepare. Irene's another example. You had no warning. When Becky died, a phone call, we had to hold it in until you got there. You say, what happened? Grief. Part of it. Part of life. Nobody plans on it. Nobody wants to deal with it. We've all in here lost somebody that we've loved dearly. But again, be careful. Because if that man or that woman was saved, they're in heaven. Thank God we're all going to be there one day. So weep if you want to. I didn't say to be cold, weep. Kiss them on the cheek. And I'll see you in the morning. Because we're all one day going to be out of this place. We're all going to check out one day. Amen. One day. I still believe in a rapture. One day, come up hither. But I thank God that when a person dies now, they'll stay absent from the body to be present with the Lord. The body goes in the grave, or the body is cremated, it doesn't matter, it doesn't hinder God. But that person's already in heaven, and one day when the rapture takes place, God's going to bring it all together. God knows where everything is, where every part of the body is, I guess. All right, so sometimes we have to endure grief. Secondly, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Just back to Hebrews chapter 12. There's something else that Christians have to endure. Hebrews chapter 12. None of us like this one. Most of you remember this. It's been a long time ago since I hit this sermon. Some of you might kind of remember it a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 5. About the middle of that verse, Hebrews chapter 12, starting in the middle of verse 5. Here's another thing we have to endure. I said, number one, endure grief. Middle of verse 5, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now here it is. If ye endure chastening. There it is. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Endure chastening. God chastens every person that's been saved. Why? He loves you. But every man and every woman sometimes has got to be chastened by God. You're his child. I'm his child. You can't live your life and be perfect. And sometimes when we don't get right with God, God chastens us. And by the way, God chastens us to a certain degree every day. I call that heart chastening. That thing was wrong. I feel so bad of what I did. Just thinking that thought, oh, I hate that, God, please forgive me. That's called chastening the heart. All of us go through that. That's because you're saved. You've been born again. Jesus lives in your heart. You and I can't play in sin. We can't do sin without God working on us. Because he loves you. God always chastens his children, but we got to endure it. You say, well, preacher, I get by with my sin. I want you to know he only chastens his youngins. If you can get by with your sin, you ought to run down the aisle tonight. Tell me, preacher, I've never been saved. I mean, God whips all of his children. If you've never been chastened by God, that ought to tell you that you need to get saved. I'm not going to play around with that. God whips us all that's been saved. I've known every time I've been chastened. And I want you to know every time God chastens you, I don't have to come and tell you, Brother Jesse, guess what? God chastened you. You know it. We all know it. Nobody has to play God and tell you that's God whipping you. I've never told a man that's God working on you, chastening you. I didn't have to. He told me. If a person has been born again, God's going to chasten them. And I just tell you tonight, endure it. Put up with it. Tolerate it. Because God chastens all of his children. Let me ask you something. How many of you in here can raise your hand and say you know at least one time, and probably more than that, you've been chastened in your life? Everybody. See that? Isn't that good? You know you're saved. Amen. You see that? God only whips his children. The Bible says if God don't whip you, you're a bastard, not a son. That means illegitimate. Not a cuss word. If you don't like that word, tell God about it. That's what he says. A person is a bastard means they're illegitimate. And that means you playing the role, but you hadn't been saved. And I want you to know that God whips all of his children. And like I said, nobody had to say, why did it happen? Because you knew why it happened. What should I do, preacher? Endure it. That's the key. Put up with it. It's going to happen anyway. When you fight it, it ain't going to do you any good. That's right. When God, that's right. When God works on you, you might as well take it. You can't stop it. All I can say is take it, put up with it, because the Bible says if you read on, there's a peaceable fruit of righteousness after if you endure it. In other words, it makes you feel a whole lot better after it's done because you know God loves you. Remember how many times your dad put you over his knee or got the belt and whipped you real good? My dad didn't whip me much, but when he did, oh boy, I certainly deserved it. I didn't, at the time I thought he was killing me, but he said, I love you, son. Amen? Now I want you to know when he's putting that belt on your hind end, I guarantee you, he said, I love you, son. Why is he trying to kill me then? Amen? Yeah, that's right. But you know, as you get older, then you realize how much your parents loved you. They didn't hate us for whipping us, folks. Man, I remember old dad here sitting right here playing the bass. Every day he loved to play the bass guitar. That's where I learned how to play an instrument was from dad. He was a much better musician than I ever was. And I'm going to try and tell you something. There's good memories there. But God always chastens his children. All right. Not easy. I didn't say laugh about it. Go ahead and chasten me, God. None of us has ever said that. Come on, do it again. Stop it. I've learned my lesson. That's what we like to say. But it also proves we're saved forever. All right, go to the third one, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Y'all getting anything out of this? Amen. Hope so. I want to leave you some things before we go. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's another one. Yeah, it's not coming out exactly as my outline has it. You know, these sermons never do. I just have the points, but I just kind of go with it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is another one here we should always endure. And verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. Did you see that? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Again, many think when they got saved, their troubles were over. But the day you got saved, the devil got angry with you. You know why? You change employers. My Bible tells me in John chapter 8 and verse 44 that you're of your father, the devil, before you get saved. But when you got born again, you change employers. Amen? Now you belong to the Heavenly Father. And I want you to know there are going to be times in your life that there's going to be some hard times in your life. I know every morning when I get up, there's going to be a new battle. And by the way, some of you know what I'm talking about. You're going through some battles right now. What do you do, preacher? Bear up under. Tolerate it. It's part of the Christian life. Like I said, just because you're saved does not mean you're trouble-free. A lot of folks say, I don't like what I'm going through. Of course you don't. But God says sometimes you've got to endure some hardness. There is no discharge in this war, church. You say, I believe I'll quit. Now that's a dumb thing to do because there's no discharge. You are not enduring hardness if you try to quit. God says endure it when you're having the hard times in your life. You should never go AWOL on God. Don't be selfish. It is a privilege to be in the army of God. Amen. Let me ask you something. How many of you all this past week at least had one battle in your life? Sometimes, see your hands. You may not have had a big one. Certainly in the last month you've had one. But everybody has a battle. But a good battle will make you strong. Let me tell you something. A battle once in a while is going to happen in the Christian life. When you start walking with the Lord, you got to handle these things. You got to tolerate it. You got to bear up under. In fact, if the devil's bothering you, must be doing something right. You know, if the devil don't give us a hard time, then you ain't got nothing to bother him about. But if you're trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to live right, trying to do what's right, the devil's going to give you a hard time. Amen? Y'all with me so far? Thank God that these words are in there for a purpose. You say, preacher, I can't take it anymore. Watch it now. Remember what Jesus said? My grace is sufficient for you. Amen? God's grace is sufficient when you're going through some hard times in your life. And every born-again Christian is going to go through some hard times. And Paul says, endure hardness. Because all of us are going to have some battles in our life. You say, well, Brother Paul, I will pray for God to take it away. Well, that sounds good. But it doesn't always stack up. Amen? I mean, it's a good prayer. Remember the Apostle Paul had that thorn in the flesh? I think I'll just pray about it. And he prayed three times, didn't he, Brother Jerry? Take it away. Prayed again. Take it away. Third time. Take it away. God says, that's right. He says, tolerate it. Endure it. But my grace is sufficient. Amen. Sometimes God wants us to have something hanging around us sometimes. And sometimes you'll pray and ask God to remove something, but it's still there. There are some things God lets stay around you and I, and a good battle will make you strong. By the way, when you go through the hardness, it'll make you a prayer warrior, I guarantee you. Ever notice when you're going through difficult times, all of a sudden you'll find a reason to pray and ask God to help you. Just endure it. Endure hardness. Stay up under. Tolerate it. And God said something else here that it, as a good soldier, verse 3, not a fair soldier. God wants us to be a good soldier in His army. All right, you're in 2 Timothy. Go to chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's another one we don't like, church. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I don't like it, and neither do you. Look at verse 5. 2 Timothy 4, 5. But watch thou in all things. Here it is. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. Make full proof of thy ministry. Endure afflictions. Bear up under. Tolerate. You say, well, Brother Paul, I'm so sick. I'm going to call that evangelist and I'm going to send him a gift and get a holy handkerchief from him. Man, you'd be surprised how many Baptists think that that's going to help them. No, God says endure it. There are going to be some times in our life where we're going to have to endure some afflictions, some sickness in your life. You say, Brother Paul, do you believe in healing? Boy, you better believe I do. But I believe in God healing, not man healers. Amen? And these folks running around saying, send me your money here, and I will go ahead and help you. Put your hand on the radio, and I'll pray for you, and you'll get well. I think a person ought to put their hand behind the radio. That'd be that dumb. Amen? I believe in healing. That's why we practice the book of James, and James chapter 4, I believe it is, or chapter 2. It's either or. It's been a while since we've done it. I think it's chapter 2. But we practice that. We anoint people with oil, and we've seen God from time to time heal people. But God does not always choose to do that. Sometimes God lets things hang around us. The prayer of faith, the book of James tells us, shall heal the sick. He is the healer. But God does not choose, don't miss this now, God does not choose to heal everybody. Some people, God gets more glory out of their afflictions. Sometimes He does. God sometimes lets things stay around us so that He could get glory out of it. Some of you in here know what I'm talking about. You've got something there that hangs around you. You prayed and asked God to remove it, and God said, no, I'm not going to remove it. You prayed again, He said, no. You prayed again, and He said, no. And you prayed again, He said, no. I want you to hang on to that so I can get some glory so that other people can see my work in you. I'm not going to heal you, but I want people to see that you're going to live for me in spite of it. See, you got two choices when you're sick. You can quit, or you keep on going for the glory of God. Amen. You say, I don't get sick often, preacher. Okay, that's good. But it may be that God has to afflict you to get some glory out of you. You know, God sometimes will afflict people to get some glory. Now, sickness will take that old pride out of you. That old pride. He'll get you on your proud knees. Let one of your children go in that operating room and the doctor says, I don't know if I can save him or her. And he's on the operating table. I guarantee you that'll get rid of that old Sunday prayer. You'll get down to business praying and asking God to help. Please save my son or my daughter. It'll make a prayer out of us. Told you I made up that word, a prayer. Amen. It'll get us to praying. You say, why did God let this happen to me? He's too wise to make any mistakes, folks. He knows what He's doing. And He knew when it happened to you that He was going to get some glory out of you. Remember Job? He was afflicted. There's any man that didn't deserve that, in my opinion, was Job. But God selected him and inflicted him with all of those boils. You know why? So God would get some glory out of this thing. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Sometimes, church, we're going to have to endure afflictions. As we get older, afflictions are going to come. And by the way, you don't have to be old to get afflictions. You see, old Angela sat in the pew there, faithful as she can be, had that baby there, and now there's something there that's going to bear with her for the rest of her life. And God is allowing, and I think God will get some glory out of that. I really do. I hate when that happens, but that's God's business when it does. You say, well, Brother Paul, I can't wait to get to heaven. First time you get a nose drip, you run on to the doctor, don't you? Yeah, don't lie to me. Humanly speaking, we want to live. That's normal. The only time I ever know somebody wants to go on to glory is when they're suffering, when they know that they're going to die, and they say, come on, God, take me. I can't wait to get to my brand new body. There's nobody in here wishing to die tonight. But if you're sick, if you're there, you've got cancer, or you've got something that's gradually eating on you, then it's normal to groan for your new body. But as long as you're in this healthy body, don't come to me and say, I can't wait to go to heaven tonight. I wish God would take me tonight. Now, you don't mean that. You don't. Amen. But quit lying about it, because like I said, we want to live. Amen. You know why some of you are in the condition that you're in from time to time? And you keep feeling sorry for yourself? I'm going to tell you something. You need to get off of that. You're in a condition sometime that maybe God allowing something, but instead of praising God, you feel sorry for yourself. God says sometimes we've got to bear up under afflictions. Haven't you seen people that come to the house of God and they have something that's hung around them for a long, long time? God says, I chose that person, like Job, to see if I'd get some glory out of this thing. God's God, folks. He does what He wants. Nobody likes to be selected for this. But sometimes it's going to happen. One more. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll finish with this one. Hebrews chapter 12. We've said endure grief, endure chastening, endure hardness, endure afflictions. Notice this one. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Everybody found it? Hebrews 12, 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, see it here, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. Jesus Christ tolerated it. He bared up under. He endured the cross so you and I could be saved, so you and I could go to heaven, so you and I could be here tonight and praise God for what He's done for us. He endured affliction. He endured everything that I preached about tonight so that you and I could be set free. Amen. He endured the cross. He could have said, I'll come down. He could have done that. He was God. He could have said, I've had enough. I'm coming down. I'm not going to go through all of Paul Dabdu's sins anymore. I'm not going to do it. I could have come down. You say, why didn't he do it? Because he did it for you and 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 for me. That's why. He loved us. He endured the cross so that you and I could be saved. He showed you and I his love. And that's why when somebody rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and dies without Christ, when they've had a chance to be saved, they don't realize that Jesus paid it all when he endured the cross for all of us in this room. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't quit? Aren't you glad he didn't say, I've had enough? Aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm through? No, he said, it is finished. He endured the cross so you and I could have a plan of salvation available tonight for anybody that wants it. And all of you here that have been saved, and I like to think everybody is, it was because he endured the cross. I hope that'll be a help to you tonight before we leave, be a strength to you. We love you, and there's some things, though, in our life we've got to endure. We don't like it, but it is part of our life. So get ready, Brother Robert. We'll have a little invitation. If you need to pray before you go home, you feel free to do so. Let's pray. Father, I hope tonight that the message was a blessing and a help. All of us in here have to endure, bear up under, to tolerate, to keep on, to endure. We thank you, Father, we don't do it alone. We have you, and we have each other. So, Father, if there's any unfinished business tonight may be done before we go home, take the sermon, Father, use it for thy glory. It's an old sermon that needs to be resurrected every 10 years or so. And I pray it was a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.